Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this celebration of the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is our gospel reading, St. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Now we'll read it in its entirety a little later on, but this is the word of God, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is true. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is today? Mother's Day, yes. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. But, what day in the church calendar is it? And because of this, she wasn't going to get anything on her birthday. Maybe they would even forget her birthday altogether. Of course, we teased her every year until, she was old enough to just ignore us, or worse, she would throw things and do what she could to get back at us. But you know how it is. Yes, we were mean to her growing up, as brothers usually are. She was the only girl, and my parents treated her different than us boys. But really, think about it. What does her birthday have over the birth of Jesus, right? Who would give it much attention? Well, ascension is like that, like my sister's birthday. We have Advent that leads to Christmas, then Epiphany, and then Ash Wednesday leading us into Lent, and then the glories of Holy Week, and then that bright glow, that explosive brightness and joy of Easter, because Christ is risen. Yes, it is still Easter. And then we just sort of jump to Holy Trinity and that great day of Pentecost. That's been my experience anyway. So, ascension? Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me." This is verse 17. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said to her. First, I can tell you why we don't think ascension all that important. It's because we are of the flesh, to use biblical terms. We rather live by sight and not by faith. And I'm right there with you. And Mary is right there with us too. She just lost him, you see, and she won't lose him again. Not if she can help it, she is going to hold on tight. That's a limited view, I should think. Such a narrow focus of things. Yes, but we think the same way. We think it would be better, that we would be better off if we were able to see him, to touch, to hold Jesus and his things. But you know what? It's not as if God doesn't know this. It is why he came into the world as a real flesh and blood man in the first place. This is also why he gave the church his sacraments and had his word written down in black and white. We are not just spirits. It is not just our souls that need saving, but our bodies as well. At the resurrection, we will be living, breathing humans again, walking in a living, breathing creation again. All new, of course, and all incorruptible, thank God. But to be clear, living by sight does not help us at all. Not at this time, not with these sin-corrupted eyes. Just read the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, God actively did wonders right in front of all those people. and they still refuse to believe. You know, we will convince ourselves one way or the other. We'll say, it was done with smoke and mirrors. It was a trick of the light. That couldn't have been what it was. We say, or try to convince ourselves or others, or as some of the Jews did, they accused Jesus of doing these things with the help of the devil. But God understands what we need before we even ask. He has prepared everything for this life and the next, for you and for me. Yet clinging to Jesus with these weak and ever weakening hands, it would do us no good. But even if Mary were able to keep him in sight the rest of her life, that wouldn't accomplish, would not give her or anyone else what we need, what is needed for this life in preparation for the next. To have Jesus here, the way we think would be ideal, limited, as he chose to be at one time, does little for us or the world. Imagine the lines to get just a few minutes with him. Remember the crowds and the travel expenses. But now, imagine him filling the universe. This is how he is now. This is how he is there for us. Yes, with his humanity, in fact. Just as St. Paul tells us Jesus did. And this is where Jesus still is. And this is far better. But people, even Christians, have difficulty with this. They ask, how can he remain human if his humanity fills the universe as God fills the universe? It is answered quite simply. Who is he, after all? God, right? And where is God? Everywhere. But the way some people talk, Jesus has his human body sort of tucked away in some corner closet in heaven, like a suit you wear only on special occasions. No, Jesus is still human. Always now. And this is not distasteful to him. We are never to separate the two natures of Jesus Christ, the God-man. He is human and he is God, 100% of both. When we accept this, it is easier to accept the idea that we receive his body and blood in Holy Communion, just as people all over the globe receive his body and blood each Lord's Day. And it's not a bit here or a tablespoon there. No, it's him. But how can all of that Jewish man fit into a small piece of unleavened bread and just a sip of wine? Answer this. How can the entire Godhead dwell in Jesus, the human man, bodily? But that is exactly how St. Paul puts it in his letter to the Colossians. In chapter 2, verse 9, he does. He is God. It is so. Yes, and as he has promised, he is with us always, even to the ends of the earth. So there is no need to cling to him. No, and thank God, because he holds on to us, and no one can take us out of his hand. That also is his promise. It is in his word and sacraments that we physically remain connected materially. Even with the simple materials of this sin-corrupted world, the things that have been purified and sanctified, made holy by Jesus himself. Word, water, bread, and wine. With those sin and death-killing words, the life-giving salvific gospel that are put in with and under that water, bread, and wine, that's where we find him, where he is there for us. Yes, he fills the universe. But where is he for you? Out there in nature? Where you can see that display of his majesty? Yes, he is there. But that is terror. That is condemning law. Nature will kill you unless you are protected and covered. If you hug Brother Bear, he will die. So where do we find him as Savior with his mercy and grace? That word that was made flesh for us? We find him in the sweet words of the gospel. The forgiveness of sins where there is life and salvation. The same words that are put into water, bread, and wine. That water that now saves you, as God had St. Peter write down for us. In that bread that is his body given in death as a substitute for us. Instead of us dying in deserved punishment, God has died for us. In that wine, in his blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of all our sins. And not just for us, but for many. For the whole world, in fact. And these things, we actually and truly, we wanted to hold on to his things. This is how. In these things, we actually and truly participate in his death and resurrection. In our baptism, we are united with Jesus on the cross, to his dying and rising to life. So just as he died and rose, we too will rise from the dead. As we share in the genetic substance of our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, we now share in the substance of the God-man. We have a new genetic line. We have a new family heritage. This through the transfusion from our brother Jesus. You cannot get any closer here in this life. So what is next? The dead and the living in Christ will rise and meet him in the air when he comes again. That great day when all things will be made new. Ascension. That is what we have because of the day of ascension. And there is more. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That right hand of power. All things are subject to him. He is our advocate. This is our Savior. This is our brother, alive and reigning in power forever. So therefore, rejoice on this day and celebrate, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Christ also has ascended, and Christ Jesus is here for us this very day. One day closer to that moment when the sky will split and forever begins. With him. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.